What does the old man do with his words? When you take somebody who walks through this world and their chief desire of all is basically to be exalted, it's to be worshipped, it's to be thought much of. We walk through this world wanting to be admired, wanting what we want, wanting to be in control. When you have a person like that walking through this world and then God designs them to speak, you know what's going to come out of the mouth? Brethren, you know what comes out? The old man wants to be thought important. The old man wants to be God. The old man will use his mouth to make himself seem important. So what comes out of his... Look, how were you? I mean, the truth. How were you? I mean, we could probably look at you right now as a Christian and we could find things that you would be pretty ashamed about. But how were you as a lost man? How were you as a lost woman? I mean the truth. Were you a good guy? Were you ladies? Were you nice? I mean, in the heart. Brethren, you know what happened? We walked through this life and in front of everybody. We had people watching us all the time. We were in family, we were in work, we were in school. We walked around through life, and you know what we did? We used our mouth to basically construct a reputation. The truth is, if any one of our friends or family would have known everything we ever thought and everything we ever did, we would have been a despicable, despisable... But we're all like that! We are! And yet with our mouths, we sought to construct a reputation that was not real. And so what flowed out of our mouths? Brethren, I'll tell you this. The old man doesn't like to be seen as a liar. You can go to some of the most notorious liars and they won't admit they're a liar. The old man never wants to be seen as a liar. So he constructs and he crafts just enough deception to not come off as a liar. But to weave this reputation we would have lied as much as we could have gotten away with. But we don't want to cross that boundary because we didn't want to get labeled as a liar. So you basically craft this thing, and these untruths, half-truths, exaggerations become the building materials for building this self-image that impresses others. So the old man, he chooses his words. Look, this is how he is. He's getting ready to speak. What's going to come out of his mouth? Well, he's choosing his words, and guess what? The old man is not thinking, what's true? I need truth to govern my words. Guess what he's thinking? How is this going to make me look? Brethren, we've got an example of this coming right out of the Scriptures. You remember there? That day when Jesus has these leaders come to Him and they say, by what authority are you doing all this? And Jesus says, well, you know what? I'll answer you if you answer me. The baptism of John, was it from God or from man? Now here's what they did. They didn't get their heads together and say, okay, gentlemen, what's true? Let's consider what's true. You know what they did? They said, if we say this, this is how it's going to impact us. And if we say this, this is how it's going to impact us. You see, brethren, that's the classic example of old man thinking and old man speaking. It's basically, how is it going to affect me? Brethren, there is more of this in us still. Brethren, we need to put this off. We need to put it off. Away with the shams. Away with the falsehoods. And we can do it just ever so cleverly and ever so minutely. And we can tend to walk through life giving off an air or giving off an impression that is not true. Brethren, with our words, we need to speak truth to one another. We need to portray things as they really are. Old man, you know what? Those Jewish leaders did not believe that John had come from God. They did not believe that. But rather than getting the heads together and saying, well, we don't believe that's true, and speaking to what they thought was true. Look, they were wrong. He was from God. But they didn't think he was. And so rather than what they thought was true, they didn't even go there. I mean, at least that would have been admirable. Even though they would have been wrong, they would have at least answered based on what they thought was true. But they didn't even go there. Their answer was basically one, brethren, we've lived there. You know it. How many times in your life? Your words, they were constructed to keep you safe and to keep your reputation exalted. You see what was happening here? That's the thing. They didn't want their reputation tarnished. Well, if we say that he's not from God, if we say that he is from God, Jesus is going to make us look bad, right? He's going to say, well, why didn't you believe him? And so then we look bad. So we don't want to give that answer. But if we say the answer that we really believe, then we're afraid. You see, that kind of that hurts the self-God if they stone us because we, the common people, believe he is from God and we don't. If we say that, then they're going to get angry with us. And even if they don't stone us, we might lose our reputation with them. So either way, we're going to look bad. And so what did they finally say? We don't know. Brethren, we were there. We talked and walked that way in our lives. Trace it out, brethren. Look at this in yourself. Look at it as in others. Is it not true? Do our words not often tend towards self and self-image and self-importance? Don't we have to confess it far too often? Brethren, I tell you, when they got their heads together, they were calculating. Isn't that what they were doing? They were running these things through their head. Brethren, we need to be done with that. What Paul is saying is the new man walks in integrity, walks in honesty, walks in purity. Brethren, when we use our mouths, it is not anymore to be a sham. Brethren, the thing is, honesty flows out of regeneration. Brethren, we don't want to play games with this. There in Proverbs 6:16, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue. I don't know if there's a stronger word in all the Bible for an absolute hatred of something than the word abomination. The Lord God Almighty describes Himself. Brethren, this is the thing. We have come now to know God. He's our Father. He sets Himself forward in Scriptures as the God who never lies. In Hebrews, we're told it's impossible for God to lie. Look, it's an essential contradiction to the God who says He is light, and in Him there is no darkness. There is no untruth in Him. He is a God that loves truth. He is a God that abhors a lying tongue. And brethren, we need to put it away. We need to put it away. Enough, brethren, of calculating in our mind, how is this going to affect me if I answer truthfully? Done with calculations like that. That's what Paul's saying. When you speak to one another, when it's in the church, when it's in the family, brethren, away with it. Away with reputation. We need to be done with this. We walk with a God who has a perfect hatred for this. And listen, brethren, the lying tongue is an abomination to Him, but you remember this, the lying tongue always belongs to a liar. And the Lord will not allow liars to stand in His presence. We have two very fearful verses right there at the end of Revelation that say, all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And again in Revelation 22, outside are the dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. You know what David, as David learned about the Lord, he came to know Him more and more intimately. He cried out there in Psalm 51, "Behold, You delight in truth in the inner being." Brethren, David knew that no pretense, no deceit, no spin, no sham, no cover-up, no craftily constructed reputation of exaggerations can hold together in the presence of God. It's no use pretending. It's no use trying to hide anything. Brethren, we are a renewed people. We are a people of God now. Brethren, we are people who walk as in the sight of our Heavenly Father. We're no longer walking in darkness. We know, brethren, we are walking in the sight of He who knows us exactly as we are. And brethren, if there's anywhere we want to build integrity and reputation, it's in His sight, not in men's. In that day, as Isaiah says, the Lord alone will be exalted. What other men thought of you will not matter in that day. Only what the Lord thinks. We all did this. We all spent our lives up until we were saved constructing a reputation of deceit. Smooth fabrications. We're desperately trying to keep up these kind of reputations. Brethren, you know, as I was thinking about all this, I thought, you know what? We simply cannot escape this reality. Truth, by its very nature, shrinks us. Isn't that right? Truth, by its very nature, shrinks us and enlarges God. And I'm not meaning it makes Him bigger than He is. And I'm not meaning that truth makes us smaller than we are. What truth does is it says things the way they are. For real. And God really is big. God really is great. God really is majestic and holy. And we really are rather insignificant. And you see, brethren, the more we speak the truth, the more it is, you know, it's just like John the Baptist say, "I must decrease and He must increase." And I'll tell you this, as we speak truth, that's exactly what's going to happen. Brethren, one of the reasons that the old man shies away from the truth is because the truth always exposes him for what he is. And he's not nice. He's not pretty. He's ugly. He's mean. He's nasty. Brethren, every one of us thought thoughts about our best friends that if they knew, they would not have been our best friends. In the lost. Well, you know that's true. But brethren, and then we covered them up. We wouldn't say what we thought. We'd say other things. Brethren, away. Away with all that now. Away with all the hypocrisy. Brethren, you ask yourself this. Have you ever known a man tell a lie because he was trying to make God seem great? Have you ever known that? Have you ever come across anybody who has lied because their intention is to try to make God seem marvelous and awesome? I don't. You know when men lie? When they want to make themselves look great. Isn't that right? I mean, brethren, come on. Is this right or what? This is where we live. This is where we lived. That's just true. God is big. God is glorious. We are small. We are insignificant. And when we speak truth, it only tends to bring to light and emphasize those very facts. But brethren, I think what you can see here is that the root of the matter comes back to humility. I'll tell you, that's really undergirding all this. In order to speak truth to one another, we need more and more humility. You see the connection? Look, if so many of our lives are constructed around self-preservation and self-glory, then the real issue in arriving at speaking truth is we need humility. Brethren, the poor in spirit can speak truth. The proud can't. Now, the proud man, if the truth be known and everything is put out there for what he is what he is. And the truth is that it's all ugly. But see, the proud man isn't going to speak that way because he's still got a reputation to protect. Brethren, we are such masters of this, and we did it for so long, some of us. We really have to think. Brethren, this all comes back again to thinking. We really have to think. This is what it said back there in verse 23. We need to be renewed in the mind. Our whole thinking needs to change. Brethren, before we speak, we need to think. Am I just trying to build an image before people? And brethren in the church, it can happen. Because what's the image we want to create here? We're holy. We're walking with Christ. We've been in the Word. We're growing spiritually. We're prayerful people. Fasting people, evangelistic people, people living for the glory of Christ. And so where does the temptation come here? Right at that point, brethren. Somebody comes along and you immediately try to put on an air that you're more spiritually healthy than you really are. I mean, the truth is, at home, your family's a wreck. Your marriage is a wreck. You walk into the church and immediately your words are constructed to weave a picture that isn't true. The truth is, you've fallen on your face. The truth is, you're head over heels full of unforgiveness or bitterness. You've let the sun go down on your anger many days. Yet you can walk in and you can spin the thing just as craftily as you did when you were lost. You can seek to create this image that just isn't true. Brethren, we need to speak the truth to one another. And it takes humility. And look, this is what Jesus says. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." He said he would give rest. But he said this. He said, "Learn of me." And he said he was gentle and lowly in spirit. Learn of him. Brethren, I'll tell you this. You've got to be poor in spirit to speak the truth to one another. And the place we become poor in spirit is at the feet of Christ. If you're going to speak the truth to one another, we need to be at the feet of Christ. We need to be learning there. We need to be studying Him. Yes, we need to study the Bible. Yes, we need to know truth. Yes, we need to know doctrine. We need to be students of the Word of God so that we know truth and can speak truth and can see lies. But brethren, you can be all doctrinally correct. You can come in here and you can know all the 5 points of Calvinism. You can go on about all proper eschatology and everything. But brethren, if you're not poor in spirit, you can still be working the sham. You can still be setting yourself up as something you're not. When you speak to one another, the truth isn't coming out. You're trying to make yourself look better than what you actually are. Brethren, this is something that it does come back to the mind. It comes back to something we have to do. Brethren, you can know a lot of truth and not be a truth speaker. And you can know very little and be a speak truther. I know John Seitzma always loves this story. It comes from a little tract from Chapel Library called The Poor Huckster. And this man would just simply, he had one basic answer. And his answer was, "I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." He was just a broken man, a humbled man. And you see, when you're broken and humbled, you can talk that way. No image. I'm nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my everything. And really, that does tend to be a mark of speaking truth. We tend to speak less and less of ourselves and more of Christ. That's a mark of it. Speaking the truth. because Christ is the truth. And as we speak about Christ, we're speaking of Him that is the truth. And the less we speak about ourselves probably is a good indication of the more we're realizing truly what we are. And the more we're likely to have a good mental concept of what is true about ourselves. That man who says, I'm nothing at all, that's pretty close. In fact, brethren, that's right on the head. What we are outside of Christ is nothing. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I guarantee you, brethren, outside of Christ, as it says in Romans 3, useless, worthless. We are nothing. I am nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. Brethren, and I'll tell you this, I want to emphasize this again, the apostle does not come along and say to us that what we need to do is pray about it. He says, stop it. Stop it. Be done with it. Brethren, we need to think right. Again, this comes back to the fact is, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, is something we do in the mind. It's something that we need to believe, that we need to take truth, we need to see it, we need to think on it. There's, brethren, the logic is inevitable. The truth is, brethren, don't you know who you are? I mean, Paul uses that kind of, he wants us to think. In fact, he starts out this chapter 4 just that way. In chapter 4, he starts out by these very words. He says, I want to urge you to walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling. You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to walk through this life in a manner that is worthy of our calling. Do you think it's worthy of your calling to walk around and spew out still untruths, half-truths, exaggerations about yourself, bending, manipulating? Brethren, do you not know who you are? Do you not realize that few there be that find it, and you are some of those few that have found it? Do you not realize you are children of the God who cannot speak lies? You're children of the One. You're seeking to draw close and have intimacy with Him, that there is no darkness in Him who sees through everything? Do you not realize, brethren, who you are? Brethren, you are not like the rest of the world. You're not out there with them. You are not of this world. This is like Jesus praying for them in John 17. They're mine. He's praying for them. He says, I don't pray for the world. I pray for them. You are people He prays for. You are people He intercedes for. You are people He spilled His blood for. Are you going to seek to use your mouth to paint a picture of you that isn't true, having been bought by the blood of Christ? Do you not hear Him groaning on that tree? It was for you. It was for your lies. Are you going to go and for the very lies He died for, are you going to go and continue on in that? Are you going to continue to paint this picture? Brethren, don't you realize the truth of what we were singing today? We have a righteousness not our own. We don't have to paint a picture anymore. In the standing of God, I am perfect. And while I'm struggling, while I'm moving through this life, while I'm fighting, while I'm seeking to overcome, and at times, yes, falling, brethren, I can be honest. Because all the time, I'm freed to be honest. Because no longer does it matter what... It doesn't matter about my righteousness, and it doesn't matter about what I construct and what I appear to be to you. What matters right now is what I am in the sight of God, and I am perfect in Christ. Brethren, away with it. Away with it. And I tell you this, brethren, we need to take this kind of truth and we need to speak to ourselves. Brethren, I tell you, one of the things about thinking right is we talk to ourselves right. I mean, you want to speak the truth to one another? You need to speak the truth to yourself first. That man that went around all the time saying, well, I'm nothing at all, you know what? When he spoke to himself, he said, you're nothing at all. And he came to that conviction. You know, brethren, what we find in the Scriptures is we find that men like David, they talked to themselves. They preached to themselves. They thought to themselves. Why are you cast down, O my soul? You know, he's holding a discussion. Brethren, we need to preach to ourselves. Who are you? I mean, remember who you are. Think, brethren, think! If you don't know why you're living the Christian life, You're doing a pretty poor job, folks. I can tell you this book is all about thinking and believing and seeing why things are so and walking in that light of that truth. Brethren, this is the Christian life. It is God working His power through us by the way of truth that we take into our minds and we think through and we believe. That's where the power of God is unleashed. It is through truth, brethren. Truth. Truth that you think about. Truth that you grasp in your mind. Remember who you are. You are now those who are to put on the new man, made in the likeness of God, in truth, true holiness, true righteousness. Brethren, we're no longer led by deceitful desires. And right down into the family. And brethren, we have to watch it. We have to watch. Think with me. Right in our families. Or when you speak about your family, or brethren, I mean, you get things like this. Well, why is Junior over here crying? Well, he's tired. No, the reality is you probably have not been a consistent parent. You probably have not disciplined him properly and taught him that when he's sick or when he's tired, that's still no excuse for rebellion. You see, the real issue is you probably have been to some degree a failure as a parent. You see, that's speaking truth. Rather than, brethren, typically when we make excuses and we become self-defensive, we're on the path to stretching truth, exaggerating. Why? Because again, we're protecting our glory. You get in that pattern of protecting your own glory and your own image, and you're on that path to not speaking truth to one another. Brethren, we need to speak truth to one another. If there's some failure in my marriage, admit it. If there's some failure in parenting my children, we need to admit it. Brethren, we need to speak truth. In a lot of families, and I mean ones that go by the Christian title, there are things that are said that aren't truth. We need to be honest. And little things, brethren, prejudice. I mean, I remember talking to one professing Christian man in another state, and his daughter was interested in a young man who happened to be African American. And he was, you know, expressing his concerns about this young man in a certain area. And I definitely got the feeling that there was prejudice. But see, we don't want to be seen as prejudiced as Christians. But when we can speak words that sound smooth to cover it up. But brethren, the truth is there are a lot of us here that in our lost days we were prejudiced and we need to put it away. And we need to not try to hide it by smooth words or by constructing a picture of ourselves that is otherwise. Brethren, we need to be truthful. We need to be truthful about education. You know, we can set forth education to our children. Again, brethren, I'm telling you, this all comes back to self-image. This is what I want you to see. Prejudice. I don't want my daughter to marry somebody of that race or somebody from that ethnicity or that country. Why? Because it's going to affect my image. And see, as a Christian, I'm not going to, you know, the guy doesn't walk forward and say, well, that's the reason. Well, I don't like, you know, the young man's just not very reliable. You know, we'll stretch something else out of there so that we don't really have to get to the core and the root of the matter. Brethren, education. I can tell you this. You watch, even in the Christian circles, you watch parents that have a child, a son or daughter, that are becoming a doctor or becoming a lawyer. Boy, they just beam. You ever saw parents just beaming their child's going to become a manager at McDonald's? But I'll tell you this, education is not God. And there happened to be some Galilean fishermen that weren't very educated. And as I said before when we were dealing with futility, folks, education is not the escape to futility. You live a life where for me to live is Christ. That's how you escape it. Now look at, brethren, I think that we ought to seek to be as educated. I think we ought to seek to do what God has prepared us and enabled us to do, and we ought to do whatsoever our hand finds to do, and we ought to do it with all of our might, and we ought to do it as best we can. But the thing is, we can tend to speak in ways, this is not totally right. The fact is, if Jesus Christ walked in right here, right now, He would not tell you that college education, getting a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, is the end all. He simply wouldn't tell us that. In fact, He'd probably put it down a lot lower on the scale than what oftentimes we do. But see, it comes back to image again. Boy, it sure makes us look good. Oh, we did an excellent job of parenting if our son somehow turns out to be a doctor rather than a ditch digger. Brother, again, it comes back to image, and we need to be careful. I mean, you know what? We can be honest. You know, my child doesn't get as good at grades, and they don't excel academically as well as I might have desired them to do. But if they're going to be a ditch digger, I hope they do it to the glory of God. Brethren, we can weave these things. Sports. I mean, you think about the things that tend to be critical, that tend to be priorities, that we tend to be image makers, that tend to be a reflection back on us, that we tend to work our words around. Because we don't want to be seen in a certain way, but really we think that way. Brethren, we need to put it off. Put it off. Imperfections. Brethren, you know, if you screwed up in your finances and you were just, you know, you can come into church. Well, we're really hurting financially. You know, the Lord has just brought us some hard times. When the truth is, you went out and you just spent your money over lavishly. You bought things you shouldn't have bought. You went out to eat when you shouldn't have gone out to eat. And then you come in and, you know, well, this has happened or that's happened. Or you come in and you say, you know, the devil's really attacking our family these days. When the real thing is, you're just being unkind to your wife. She did something you're just not forgiving her for. The devil came in, but you did it. And rather than saying that, you know, again, it's just that smooth little, it's the devil's fault. When the reality is, it's your fault. But see, you don't want to come across as a mean husband. You want to come across as a good husband that's being assaulted by the devil, because then you're an object of pity, right? Brethren, truth. 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 We need to be truthful. We need to speak it. Brethren, I just end in this. Above everything else, we need to speak to one another of Christ. Brethren, the truth is this. We need to speak of Christ. We need to speak of what we know He would approve of, what He thinks of things. We need to, if we're going to speak truth, and Jesus said, I am the truth, then you can't speak truth unless you're speaking much of Him. Brethren, I can tell you this. If I walk into your home, and most of the speaking is about politics, or the movie you just watched, or about friends, or the latest group, the latest song, TV programs, gossip, sports, education, work. Brethren, it's very likely you're not speaking the truth to one another. And you know what I mean by that? You may be seeing what is factually accurate, but you're sending a signal to your spouse and to your children or to your parents that those things are more important than Christ. When we speak truth, it means we come out with it in the way, in the manner, in the balance that the Word of God does. Have you ever tried to read the New Testament and just read a paragraph of it and not find Christ everywhere? Brethren, this is our guide for living life today. Brethren, Christ, you see what happens if I'm speaking sports all the time, or if there's constant talk about work? You're basically sending the image through your language that those things are more important. You come into a house where Christ is a focus point often, then what you're doing is you're speaking in a way that is magnifying the truth. You see, brethren, by our words, we can send forth messages of truth, not just through the accuracy or inaccuracy of the factual content, but by what is most important in life. What you talk most about shows that you believe that's what's most important. Brethren, God help us. More of Christ. More of Christ. Fill your mouths with Christ. Tongues for Christ. Lips for Christ. Truth for Christ. Oh, brethren, let us be sitting at His feet. Truly, humility is the pathway. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is the path to speaking the truth to one another. Brethren, put away falsehood. Amen.
For more media content from I'll Be Honest, visit us online at illbehonest.com.